Yeah. Yeah. Tell me that you're ready for the fantasy, fantasy, fantasy football, friends. Tell me that you're ready for the fantasy, fantasy, fantasy football, friends. Get up your bands. Pick up your wins. We out there league, get in the game and out of the stands. Tell me that you're ready for the fantasy, fantasy, fantasy football, friends. Tell me that you're ready for the fantasy, fantasy, fantasy football, friends. Get up your bands, pick up your wins. We out there league, get in the game and out of the stands.
Hey guys, welcome to another episode of the Fantasy Football Friends podcast. You know, as always, I'm your host, Cameron McCoy. Today I'm joined by Chris Diaz. Hey Chris,
hello.
How you doing?
I'm well, how are you?
I'm doing pretty good, man. I got some pulled pork, a simmering, some spicy pulled pork cooking.
One of the cool things about living in Jacksonville is I have access to Pollo Tropical that's not just in the student union. So I stuffed my face with that.
Don't talk to me about Pollo Tropical, man. I love that place so much.
I remember very vividly. Go ahead.
I was going to say, you know, they shut that down in the union. It's not at the union anymore.
Oh, see, that hurts my heart. Because I remember, like, we were counting down the days on Tennessee Street working. Like, oh, we could just walk over to the union and get Pollo. Maybe they'll trade with us. I remember those pretty vividly.
Yeah. And Evan Googe and I... Sandy and I met Googe one time because, you know, he lived like walking distance from the union. And we met him one time to walk over there to try to get some. And of course, it was during the summer and like the union was closed or it was between semesters or something. So it was like a huge waste of, you know, 30 minutes. Not a big deal.
Is that renovation done?
I believe so. I know they had a bomb threat today. So that's not great. But I don't think that had anything to do with the food. Unfortunately, Pollo Tropical is so good. I don't understand why.
There's probably someone angry that it's no longer there.
Yeah, well, you know what? I completely agree with that person. I would also demand that they bring back Pollo Tropical. What is the word? Disclaimer. I have nothing to do with any bomb threats coming into any Florida schools right now.
Right.
Whether or not you have Pollo Tropical, I think you're wrong there, but I'm not trying to blow you up because of that. But anyway, I do love me some Pollo Tropical, man. That place is great.
Same.
Also, we were just talking, I don't know if you listened to the episode, but I was just, I just posted an episode with Will, and the first half kickoff question was about sandwich places. And I don't know if you're aware or a fan, but you guys have like one of the only remaining places, the last time I looked this up, of my favorite sandwich place.
Oh, Quiznos?
Quiznos, man.
Yeah, I know. That's a dying breed.
So you actually do have a Quiznos then? Like, you could go to Quiznos?
I believe it's down by the beach, yeah.
Oh, my goodness, dude. I would be there all the time. I'd be getting so many sandwiches at Quiznos.
Ugh. Yeah, they were the hot sandwich king, and then Firehouse tries to, but it's really not the same.
It's not at all the same, man. I talked about this on the episode, was that like the main thing, their bread was one of a kind, and they used a conveyor belt oven that like worked well with the way that they put the toppings on and everything like that. It was just like the bread got so crispy. Oh man, I'm hungry. I'm real hungry.
R.I.P. the days. I remember when we went to school at the peak time when that was like in the union, you can get it whenever.
Oh yeah. I mean, when I was in high school, before that, before at FSU, there was a Quiznos 5 minutes away from my high school. I got to go there when I would go out for lunch sometimes. That was so good. Yeah, rip Quiznos, man. I don't understand how some of these other sandwich places get to be around, but Quiznos failed. I blame it on their weird marketing techniques, those weird gerbil things. People were just like, I don't want to go there. Anyway, this isn't going to be another sandwich conversation, but yeah, no. No, dude, I'm doing well, and like I said, I got that pulled pork waiting, and I'm super excited about it. I made some spicy pulled pork, and should be ready for dinner tonight. Do some mac and cheese and mashed potatoes with it, I think, or maybe just sandwiches and mac and cheese.
Hey, I mean, any of that sounds good.
Yeah, I don't think you would like it, though. It's super spicy.
Pulled pork, spicy pulled pork. I mean, I know I'm chicken tenders and French fries kind of dude, but I love me some pulled pork.
I know you. It's not the meat or the format of the meat. It's the spicy level of it. I think it knowing your avoidance of major spicy. This is like my level spice.
It's okay,
like, it's not black pepper spice.
I can't go to Island Wing Factory without remembering the pain that was that sauce.
Yeah, dude. I mean, what? It's not scorpion, is it?
Scorpion. Yeah, I think it was scorpion.
Scorpion. Yeah, yeah. Like I love that stuff, man. Yeah, that was also a good point about working at Blaze Pizza back in the days, bringing in leftover like scorpion wings and throwing them on a pizza, baking it, and it came out so good. Ugh, loved it. That and bringing in pulled pork and throwing that on a pizza. Pulled pork on a pizza. So good. Anyway, this is unfortunately not a food podcast, although I think we could do a food podcast.
Yeah, it could be a one-off, like a random conversation about food. We could probably go for an hour.
Yeah, I'm sure. Oh, man. Yeah. But no, we... So before we get too far into things, once again, let's go ahead and this is the Fantasy Football Friends podcast. I'm sure you guys, the listeners, you know what you're listening to. You can tell we're talking about food for several minutes. This is clearly the Fantasy Football Friends. You can always get at us at Twitter, at FFBFriends. We're also on Gmail, theffbfriends@gmail.com. We're available on Apple Podcasts, Spotify, Stitcher, iHeartRadio, pretty much anywhere you want to listen to a podcast, we're there. Do us a favor, hit that subscribe button. You'll get push notifications whenever we have a new episode come out. Do us a favor, leave us a rating. You know, I've seen, we don't have a whole lot of ratings, but the ratings we do have are all 5 stars, so that's nice. I'm sure that's probably my mom. And hey, mom, shout out to my mom. I'm sure she's listening to this episode too. And, yeah, you know, let's, go ahead and drop us, do us that favor. You know, if you like the show, follow us and all that stuff so that, advertisers eventually will be like, yeah, we'll throw some money at this. People like to listen to this. Let your friends know about us too. You know, I understand wanting to keep us a secret so you can use our knowledge to help you out in your fantasy endeavors, but, you know, let people know. Well, the bigger we get, the more we can put towards helping you guys do better. And so, yeah, let people know. We appreciate it. Without further ado, we'll go ahead and get into the first half kickoff question. And this kind of came up the other night. I was just having like a real hard time getting to sleep. And so I was just wondering, like, whenever you run into an issue falling asleep, like, what's your go-to strategy? What do you do to try to help you fall asleep?
So this actually happens often, so I actually have some experience with it. First, I try to be as cold as possible, so I'll kick off all the blankets, make sure the fan's full blast. If I have to turn the AC down, I'll turn the AC down. And then, I don't know where I heard it, but it was either on Reddit or something, but it was a Marine talking about how they teach soldiers to sleep.
Yeah, I think.
So there's a couple of things. Like, if I really need to sleep and it's a quick nap, there's a trick to laying on your back and elevating your legs so that the blood flow, I don't know what it actually does for the blood flow, but it does something, but it makes it so that the nap is more,
your heart doesn't have to beat as hard or something to get
But with sleeping, I don't even know if it's actually something they teach in the Army or the Marines, but effectively it was focusing from head to toe. So starting with your head and relaxing every possible muscle you can think of in your head and then working down your shoulders. And basically I would just go through that process and just try to relax every muscle, because I know I hold tension literally everywhere. So trying to get to a point where I'm in peak relaxation, I guess.
Yeah.
And in most cases, I can't remember getting to like my feet. It's usually I'm already falling asleep halfway through, so it's usually a good strategy for me. But I'm not a sleep expert, and I sleep like but sometimes, and I'm sure sleep apnea has something to do with that, but that's usually my strategy.
Okay, cool. Well, I mean, like, you know, that was a very informed response with you know, actual things backing it up that makes sense. Yeah, man, like I was saying, I was having a weird time trying to get to sleep the other night. You know, when your mind is just constantly racing on X, Y, and Z, and you're like, especially when you work in a spot where you listen to the same music over and over again, you hear that music in your head, and it's just like the same two lines over and over again. It just makes it impossible to fall asleep. So I was just, you know, thinking about that, thinking about what, you know, what other people do to try to get to sleep. I think for me, what I like to do, if I have the time and if I'm actually feeling it, you know, a hot shower with either a candle or like a nightlight and not the actual light on, that helps. Kind of like what you said too, though, I like to have it really cold. I mean, that's a pretty proven way to help calm people down, is to have it cold. That's why if you ever get arrested, that holding cell you're going to be in is going to be freezing cold, because you're not as likely to get into any kind of altercation. It's harder to be motivated to move and do things when you're freezing cold, because your brain, your mind, it's all trying to maintain body heat. So, which is also if you're out hiking up a mountain climbing, something like that, and you run into a situation where you're stuck in the cold, that's why they say it's like falling asleep when you die of hypothermia, because you just get so cold, your body relaxes and calms down until the fact that you just pass out. So, you know,
right.
I think the heat and the cold make a good balance there. Nice relaxing hot shower followed by like a cold.
True. Cold and I can often remember a lot of times in the restaurant experience that in times of stress and or heated moments, literally and figuratively, the cooler was usually the go-to to walking calm cool. down. Like, just go somewhere, be cold.
Oh, yeah.
It makes you calm down. Like, your entire body relaxes.
Yeah, I mean, that's the stereotypical, you go there to yell, you go there to cry. If you've worked in food service, I guarantee you know what we're talking about. It's almost soundproof. So if you have to yell about a guest or something like that, you know, it's not a bad spot to run to for that. So, yeah, the cold's definitely a good one. Like I said, I also like, I like listening to music that changes. Like, I find what keeps me up a lot of times is hearing one weird, like, two line verse of some song that I don't even want to be thinking about going on in my head over and over again. But if I have like a constant changing, song music kind of thing, it helps me give me something to focus on that's changing. And then before I know it, like, I'm asleep, you know. I'm gonna have to try
right now. That's stuck in your head.
Yeah, it's not stuck in your head. Yeah, exactly. So like, that's what I'm saying. Like, it's that obnoxious, like, I don't know, man, you know, earworms or whatever other people call them, when you just have those like two lines of a song that just keep repeating over and over again. Your brain's like, no, I'm not moving forward with this. This is what we're doing. We're just gonna keep singing this, we're not going to take it, over and over again. And it's like, I'd rather not. I'd rather go to sleep. And the brain's like, nah, I'm literally not going to take that. And we're going to sing, we're not going to take that, over and over again. So, you know, and I honestly, like, I think that I'm sure that you could do a study on restaurant workers and retail workers that have to listen to the same music over and over again. I guarantee you the sleep quality for people that work in those industries is way lower than people that work in an office where it's like quiet, or all you hear is, you know, ambient office noises, because I've always had a problem with that.
Right. And but I mean, not even to go into too much depth, but the circadian rhythm of retail and restaurant workers is probably not as strong as someone who works an office job, because an office job has the same hours every day. You get done at the same time, roughly. Restaurant, you could be up one late one night closing, and then what sucks for some, especially in the management ranks, you go from closing the restaurant to either coming in at open, which is generally frowned upon, or you have to work a mid, which is basically before the restaurant opens. So you're still up early, and so you're just the schedule, that cycle, your body never gets into a rhythm. But that's a whole other diatribe that we could go down the rabbit hole on.
That's another podcast that we can host.
Yeah, surviving a sleep podcast.
Well, I was going to say surviving the food service industry.
Oh yeah,
surviving.
I am
guest service.
A survivor. Wow. It's like those stickers. I survived working in a restaurant. Slap it on your car.
Yeah, I mean, honestly, I'm trying to get out of the restaurant game myself, so I feel that 100%. I'm trying to kind of follow in where you went, kind of similar industry, yeah. Same stuff, you know, just try to get out of this.
Well, it's well worth it. It's without being overdramatic and or exaggerating, it's life changing.
Oh yeah.
Just from a consistency standpoint.
Consistency, peace of mind, you know, I mean, one of the things I really enjoyed about working construction was that, you know, when I left the job site, I was done. I didn't have to worry about it anymore. Yeah, I might have talked about what I did for the day, but it wasn't something that like, oh goodness, did I do this? Oh,
the construction wasn't going to call you saying, hey, we need help, come back.
Yeah. Hey, we got hit with a weird rush. Like, I need you to come back right now. It's like,
Or like the drill didn't show up today. Can you come in and drill for us?
Yeah, exactly. No, that, yeah. So it's, man, people, not to get too into it, like you said, but like people really should recognize the sacrifice that people working in the food service and customer service, guest service in general make.
Right.
It's tough, man. It's tough on,
I always put it like this. There's a reason that most restaurant employees are generally a little more short tempered or have a short fuse and maybe a little bit more snarky.
Smoke and a lot of cigarettes, drink a lot of alcohol.
Right. Exactly. It's a self-fulfilling prophecy because it's like you come in and then you yell at them and then you're like, why are you mad or rude at me? And it's like, because you're yelling at me. So it's a cycle. One of the things to transition kind of into the second half question, in time, you know, since I have a lot more time not working in restaurants, I have time to think about really silly questions. And I know you wanted to talk about the AFC North to be kind of spoilery for what the episode and the meat and potatoes were going to be about. But, you know, we talk about drafting, we talk about fantasy football, and it's kind of our putting our teams together with all the players that we think would make, you know, imagine those super teams. But we never really talk about the coaches. And so my question to you for the second half question, and before we get too deep into discussion, I'll give you my the one change I would make. But my question to you would be, if the teams in the AFC North could draft their coach, if they could pick the best coach that fits their system that would make them most successful, the question would be, who do you think each team would draft? Before I let you answer, I'll kind of drop some really lame and kind of homery answer of my own, and that's I really wouldn't change anything, but here's my reasoning.
Well, I imagine so, if you could, you would give your team's competitors worst coaches.
Oh, if I was answering answering correctly, I'd be like, give me some peewee coach for all the other three teams and keep Mike Tomlin.
Mike Tomlin, obviously, for the Steelers, for you, he stays. And then Adam Gase, he's
running. yeah, give me some, like, yeah, basically clone him, and I'm sure it'll work out fine. Gase, but
Matt Nagy, who else is out there that's really bad? Jeff Fisher. Those are the other three.
No, 7-6 or 7-9 forever.
Hey, man.
He'll find a way to be 7-9 in a 17-game season.
Hey, he's good like that, man. That's consistency.
But to give some real answers, so I'm going to go team by team, starting with my own. I think Mike Tomlin, personality and ideology-wise, fits the Steelers and what they want to be, blue-collar, defense first, and hard-nosed. And he's been largely successful, has not had a losing season thus far. I kind of think this might be the first year it happens, but we've talked about this before.
As Big Ben last year tried to do it.
I mean, right, and at least the thing with Steelers teams is they're not laughably bad as an organization, and they never are.
Yeah, exactly. They'll be bad, but they're like they're bad at being bad, so they're like mediocre at being bad.
Yeah, so like you would think, especially in a league where it's you get rewarded for being bad because you get better picks.
Yeah.
The Steelers always kind of put themselves in a situation where they have to either reach or they miss out on some top tier talent.
Right. And then not to get too far off of it, but it's like we've talked about this for Dynasty, and it's like, okay, well, yeah, that's fine. You're competing and everything, but like you're not going to win at all where you're at, but you're also not going to get the best picks. So like, unfortunately, you're in kind of like a no man's land, but they make it happen. So
right. I think it's just because the organization, and we've talked about it before, but the scouting, they're able to identify that person, where they can get him. The Ravens, I think John Harbaugh is a great fit there, mainly because he takes risks. I think they're a team that's a little bit more new age, new style.
I love John Harbaugh, especially what was it last year where you went for that 60-something yard field goal? I think that was last year.
And but he also
nobody else would have really put that on their kicker.
And he's so he's a little bit more on the analytics side. So he sees that, you know, the risk reward, and but also he's a player's coach and he trusts in the players. So like I like there was a couple clips last year, one with Lamar Jackson and the other with the backup. I have him on my fantasy team. Terrell Huntley. And he asked him like, hey, it's fourth and or it's 2-point conversion to win the game. Do you want to do it? Or are we kicking the PAT? And he let them make the choice. I imagine they had some input on the play. So he trusts the player. I think that they have a lot of talent because they draft really well as well. So that's I think that's a great fit. Zach Taylor in Cincinnati, young coach, also a former quarterback. So he can work with Joe Burrow, innovative on offense. And I think they were allowed to let Burrow flourish with his strengths. And I think that relationship works well. It started off rough because I think he won maybe all of 8 games in his first 3 seasons, first 2 or 3 seasons. But
that sounds about right.
But his last season, it finally came into fruition because their front office was run very well. The Browns are the only ones that, you know, you might have question marks. I think Stefanski is a great pick for a coach for them because they need someone who's consistent, who is loyal. They've changed coaches more often than any other team in this division. But I would say Cleveland's issue is front office. If I were to say any potential move coach-wise, they did have Belichick as their coach at one point and fired him. Granted, he doesn't do what he did in New England because it takes a front office to put the team together. But, I mean, you got to think that someone somewhere in Browns country is like, man, I wish we wouldn't have kept him.
Oh, yeah.
But what are your thoughts?
The office, the owner, the team owners have got to have been like, man, I wonder what if, you know, like Marvel's what if. Like, what if we had
right.
Belichick? Which, hey, production companies out there, y'all should look into doing that. A what if of the NFL? I think that'd be fun. Like for some, like ESPN, what if? I think that'd be a heck of a fun
like
show.
Like a docuseries, like have former players and stuff like that. That'd be pretty cool.
Yeah, I think that'd be a lot of fun. So, you know, the first one that I'm gonna go into is actually is Cincinnati. Because of the way that you put it forward, somebody that can work with Joe Burrow, but also like knows how to heavily utilize all of the components around his quarterback. I really think that, and again, this is not at all based on like the money involved or anything like that. Like I'm sure that this is all impossible, but this is a fantasy football podcast. I'm basically talking as if this was a fantasy football question, but I think Sean McVay would actually be a really good fit for the Bengals. Jared Goff didn't do great under him, you know, young QB, but I think that's more Jared Goff there. But I do love the way that McVay is so good about using the talent around the quarterback. I could just see, just envisioning the capabilities of Burrow and his weapons with McVay and his ability to scheme up mismatches and things like that. Like, that would just be a monstrous team. And that's not to say that, like, McVay pretty much anywhere wouldn't be a monstrous team, but I think that if, given today's roster, if you brought in McVay and had him coach that team, there's no way that's not a Super Bowl contending team. There's just not. I mean, with the talent that they have on the field and then also his ability to scheme things up again, he knows how to run the ball, he knows how to pass the ball, and he knows how to get the right people in the right position. So I think that McVay, with those weapons, like that would be a really good spot for him. He also tends to be slightly receiver-oriented. He likes to run the ball, but he likes to have he tries to have, I think, a bell cow as much as he can. And I think they have Mixon. Mixon can be a bell cow, you know. So just comparatively wise, with all the weapons that McVay was trying to build while they were on their Super Bowl run this last year and what they were trying to build every other season up until now, I think McVay in Cincinnati would be a great fit. I don't know if you, you know, necessarily disagree or have any opinions on that.
No, actually, I think we kind of agree there. I think the way he uses his weapons in LA would do well in Cincinnati, considering they have what we both agreed on was potentially the best receiver core in the league.
Oh, yeah.
So I agree completely there.
Cool. We go to Cleveland. You know, I know you said that they're kicking themselves about Belichick not being there. And I think that this is a kind of an interesting, and we'll probably get into this more when we're going into the actual breakdown of the division. But I think it's very interesting that I feel like the philosophies of Baltimore and Cleveland are fairly similar in that you know, they're run first teams. So I was thinking, like, what run first coach could be brought over? And I actually went with one that's not necessarily run first, but one that always gets the most out of his running backs. And I went with Shanahan. I think Kyle Shanahan would be a great fit for Cleveland. They've got two fantastic running backs there in Chubb and Hunt. And so they've got their bruiser and they've got their pass catcher. They have everything that Kyle Shanahan wants there. I can just see him salivating over being able to put them both on the field at the same time and creating those weird mismatches and running pre-snap changes and things. And the wide receiver core there isn't something that he couldn't work with. You know, we weren't talking about Deebo Samuel where he is now several years ago. And you know, they've got several tight ends. He likes to utilize his tight ends a lot. He's got skilled tight ends. I think Shanahan would be a good fit for Cleveland with the weapons that they have and their general philosophy for playing the game. So, then as far as Baltimore, I think is more, and I don't think anybody's going to argue this, is more run-centric than almost any other team in the league, to be quite fair. So I went for an even heavier run-first coach for them, Pete Carroll. Baltimore, I think Pete Carroll, if I could pick it, I would put Pete Carroll there last season when Hollywood Brown was still there, and I would say, you know, that's basically in the realm, arguably, of what he was dealing with in Seattle already. I mean, there's a pretty easy correlation there. It's Lamar, who, as far as running, I think better than Russell Wilson. Passing-wise, not so great. But Pete Carroll wants to run the ball, so it'd be a lot of running between him and the plethora of running backs that they have. I just think that that's his philosophy, and I think based on the pieces that they have there and what they've shown that they want to do, that'd be a good spot for him. And, you know, he'd basically have his 1-2 punch on receiver with Hollywood Brown and, Rashad Bateman. Obviously, this is, you know, I don't know about this year. Their receiving corps is kind of messed up, but it's not like Seattle. It's not like Seattle hasn't been in positions before where they have basically nobody at wide receiver. I mean, up until they got DK and Tyler Lockett on the same team, there wasn't a whole lot going on that was super fantasy relevant, at least. So, and then this one, now we're on your team, my pick for your team, and this might have more conversation for it. But I think Andy Reid would be a good fit for your team, especially this season. You guys have just a plethora of wide receiver weapons. Andy Reid's really good about, he's kind of similar, as far as I'm concerned, to McVay, in that they're really good about creating those mismatches, depending on the game and the team that they're playing against. But he also, I think, very successfully knows how to utilize running backs that are multifaceted. I mean, you can go back in Jamar Charles. I mean, even more recently, Damian Williams with CMC, or not CMC, CEH. And so I just think, based on what you guys have, I think that Andy Reid would be able to fill in, you know, if there was no Mike Tomlin kind of thing. That's what I think the crux of this question is like, if the current coach wasn't there, who could step in and not only run a similar offense, but also possibly exceed that? I think that he'd be really good about drawing up some plays to really open the field up, especially with Trubisky there, because he can run a little bit. So, you know, Trubisky's kind of, to me, in that ballpark where it's, hey, Mom, can we get Pat Mahomes? And they're like, we got Pat Mahomes at home, and then it's Mitch Trubisky. And so he's not great at the same level at anything, but, you know, he can kind of do it. He has that ability. So, yeah, so I think Andy Reid would be a pretty good fit in Pitt.
So just to respond to a couple of those, because I kind of was letting you go, so you can get all your thoughts out. On the Ravens, so Pete Carroll is also intriguing because in history for me, the Ravens have always been a strong team personality-wise. They've always had some fiery personalities. They've kind of been a little bit more rambunctious is the word. They talk a lot on defense. I mean, we had the Ray Lewis's and the Ed Reed's of the world. Obviously, since they've calmed down, different team now. But Pete Carroll's a player's coach, and he kind of lets his team do their thing. And he, you know, supports them in their strengths. I think that it would be a good fit for their brand as well, because I think part of the Ravens' brand is that hard-nosed, not afraid to talk, but back up that talk kind of mentality.
Yeah, I mean, like DK with his, like, pacifier and pulling it out to talk ill and everything, you know.
Right, like, I think he lets his players do their thing and be themselves. And I think the Ravens' brand is better for that. And the Seahawks' brand also, I mean, they are one of the few. Yeah, they're known for their fans. They're, you know, at one point their defense had a nickname. You know, it takes a lot to get to that level. And yeah, and I love that. I mean, Richard Sherman played there, and Richard Sherman is not shy in any sense of the matter. But I think with Pete Carroll, you get some freedom to do that. Some other coaches, and I'll even say, you know, in the Tomlin vein, are a little bit more disciplinary and authoritarian. Like, we're doing it this way. This is the way we do it. Belichick, this is the Patriot way. So I think the Ravens need someone who's a little bit more lax in that regard. With the Steelers, well, I don't doubt Andy Reid would do very well. He's actually done well everywhere. You know, he was great with Philly. It took getting to Kansas City to be a champion, but I mean, he's one, someone that I rooted for. You know, he's one, the coach that you wanted to see get a championship. And he would do well with the offensive weapons we had. And Lord knows, I would love to have some kind of offensive mind, because it's been a while since we've had an offense that I had faith in. I mean, the last time I really, truly trusted the offense to put up points consistently was under Bruce Arians. And it's all been Arians. Kind of downhill.
He was actually my first thought for this, and then I was like,
Now, he's got...
actually still in the... still coaching in the league.
Fair enough. I went with. With Arians, there's a little bit of a – he's rougher around the edges. He's someone that will not necessarily, you know, bring home to mom and
– Oh, he'll clean your clock. Talk to him.
Right.
He'll clean your clock.
Right. And, I mean, seeing how the whole Antonio Brown saga ended with them, you know, Antonio Brown's making claims that he's been made to play her.
Yeah, it might be rough with the personalities.
Yeah, Pittsburgh. Especially because we've got some divas. Now, granted, it should
Antonio Brown.
Well, I mean, I was thinking we had Juju. We were basically the TikTok team for a while, and but with that being said, my only pushback, just being a Steelers fan, is I don't know if Pittsburgh fans or Steelers Nation would put up with the lack of defense they're typically known to come with, and granted, he's had some better defenses as of late.
Yeah, I was gonna say, like, up until recently, this season, I'm not a huge fan of their defense this season, but up until this season, you know, they've had a decent, it's not to the level, obviously, of the Steelers, because the Steelers are always, you know, what top 10, top 12 defense. I mean, arguably, I mean, as far as talent goes, but you know, I just also think that, you know, if given the opportunity to have the skill at defense, then he can get more creative with the offense, and that would lead to a lot of cool plays and a lot of interesting ways to get down the field.
And I'm sure, like, and I'm not, this is not to discount that I'm sure there are a lot of Steelers fans that would love to see some of the crazy plays that, you know, that they're known for in Kansas City, with a lot of the weird motion, odd handoffs, you know, end arounds, you know, jet sweeps, all that stuff that they do in Kansas City. There's so many plays where they do some weird, like, put some guys in motion, Pat Mahomes rolls back, and then, like, the running back kind of hides behind the center, and he just shovel passes it to him, and he's wide open for a touchdown. It's just like, okay, that's
the
cool stuff. And,
or the random
right.
tight end.
So I'm sure, you know, I would love to see some offense and some creative offense versus, you know, pound the ball first and second down, have third and 12, and, you know, hope and pray that we can chuck it, you know.
I think it's going to be a lot different this year. We'll get into that more when we get into our discussion, but I think it's going to be
a lot
different this year.
But I think that's a fun way to think about, like, if NFL teams could draft fantasy. You know, that's a good, cool little question.
Yeah, it was, you know, I enjoyed that. That was a lot of fun, just, like, thinking about the way that I thought – current coaches would fit into a certain style, you know. It's a little bit easier once you break them down into, are they run first? Are they more imaginative? I think that's where I got with the Pitt pick, was just that I thought that he'd be very imaginative with them. Same with McVay, like the two of them, that was more fun to pick. Cleveland and Baltimore, not so much fun to pick, just because, you know, both of those teams are fairly run heavy. And so I went with a team with coaches that can do that very well, but also know how to get out of that box a little bit. And devise ways to exceptionally use that as a strength to create pass plays and things like that. So especially Shanahan is really good about that. Carroll, not quite so much. I mean, I like Pete Carroll a lot as a coach, and I think he's going to go down in history as one of the best coaches that's out there. But I mean, I honestly feel like the man's getting old and his style is getting way too old.
I think he's one of the oldest coaches in the NFL now. Oh, and
100%. I feel like there's at least a moment every season where they're like, is he going to retire?
Yeah. And for me, there's just that big stain of, you drove down the field using Marshawn Lynch in the Super Bowl against the Patriots, and he was gashing them. And then you decided to get cute and throw slants on the one. Like, I just can't. That's kind of hard to forgive. Granted, not only his decision, I'm sure both Russ and the offensive coordinator had something to do with that, but...
Well, like, that, yeah. I mean,
it's easy mode. Like, it wasn't, do the same play.
It would have been easy beast mode if they had gone with him. But, I mean, the fun thing about that is it did give us a lot of memes about it. Like, one of my favorite ones is from the show The League. I don't know if you've ever watched it, but The League's really funny. It was found and brought on by the guys that make It's Always Sunny. They FX ran a contest, and like, people put forth ideas for shows and trailers, not trailers, pilots, and that was the one that they went with. And it does have a very similar vibe to It's Always Sunny as far as how, you know, raunchy and adult it can be. But if you like fantasy football and you've never seen it, that's a great show to watch. It's fully completed. I think there's like 6 or 7 seasons, something like that. Very funny. But there's a cold opening where one of the main characters, Taco, is sitting on the beach with Marshawn Lynch, and he's talking to another guy, and the other guy wants a beer thrown to him, and Marshawn's like, well, I could just, it's like right there, dude. Like, I'll just run it over to him. And Taco's like, nah, I think I'll throw it to him. And the guy that's waiting for it's like, why don't you just let him run it over to me? And he's like, I'm going to throw it. And then he throws it, and homeboy like runs into a fire and gets lit on fire and stuff. So I don't know. Very, very, very funny memes to come out of that decision. Also, Pat's going to win regardless of whether they theoretically should or not, kind of situation.
Yeah. Ugh. I know where you're going with that.
Oof. Hate that. Hate that. Hate that. Hate that. Cut that. Cut that. Cut that. Anyway. So that was a fun first and second half kickoff question. We got some sleep help in there for you guys out there. You know, anybody likes listening to our dulcet tones, maybe some ASMR sleep help for you. I don't know. I doubt it, but maybe. And then, you know, a fun what if kind of discussion for the NFL. I enjoyed that a lot. Thank you. Meat and potatoes time, though. Hey, man, we were talking about food, meat and potatoes. It's meat and potatoes time. We are doing the AFC North, if I'm not mistaken. AFC North. And
yes.
Do you have a preference? I've got the Ravens pulled up if you want to go ahead and jump into them.
Okay, that sounds fine to me.
Cool. So yeah, what do you think? What are your initial thoughts on the Ravens right now?
So Ravens, it's hard to bet against them because they're kind of like the Steelers in that it's rare that they do sub 500 in their record. Hard to bet against a situation where Lamar Jackson's the quarterback against you. I worry from a fantasy perspective because, and you kind of hinted towards it, we've talked about it before, but they shipped off Hollywood Brown and like the cupboard, I'm not going to say empty because Rashad Bateman has a lot to prove and you know, he was drafted highly, highly regarded. Mark Andrews is still there, so that's another pass-catching option. But there's not a whole lot of solid options behind
Derek Duvernay, James Proche, the second?
Nothing that's inspiring you to be like, yeah, this is going to be a hardcore, you know, team offensively. Like, they're going to do what they do. They're going to run out of pistol.
You know, Lamar Jackson's going to run. After is if he doesn't get re-signed, which I kind of don't think he's going to get re-signed, they should go after Odell Beckham.
Oh, yeah, if they can pry him out of L.A. I know, well, I'm sure he wants to stay in
L.A. As far as right now, they haven't re-signed him,
mm-hmm.
was the last thing I saw. So, you know, if he doesn't get re-signed there, and they just brought in somebody, Allen Robinson. They brought in Allen Robinson, so it's like, and then they still have Van Jefferson. So, you know, that's a pretty crowded wide receiver room. If Odell is Odell, like I know Odell to be Odell, he's going to want to He's going to want to Odell in a spot where he can actually do something, you know. And I think he could make a big difference for the the Ravens.
And I think it's less about the championship for him, though, now, because now he has – I mean, granted, he was out for half the Super Bowl. But, I mean, his presence was felt. If he stays in that game, I think it's not even close.
Yeah.
He made his mark, and he got his ring, and now he can kind of just go and do his thing. I did not mean for that to rhyme at all.
I mean, I did something similar with just saying Odell over and over again. So
yeah. But Ravens, it's just, I think defensively they're going to be scary. They drafted really well. I love the pick, the safety pick they grabbed from Notre Dame. Schedule wise, the AFC North has to play the NFC South. So that means they got to see Tampa and New Orleans, which are. Tampa's definitely a more scary game. Strong defense, known for shutting down running quarterbacks. New Orleans defense also a little bit scary. I'm just speaking from a fantasy perspective. But then you get the cupcakes in Carolina and Atlanta, so those should be nice games.
I mean,
I'm not.
We're saying cupcakes now, but I mean Baker in Carolina. I think the one that we can be sure of is
Atlanta.
Atlanta's going to be that's going to be a cake win. For anybody going against them, but you know, you never know with Carolina now with Baker with a on paper competent quarterback.
Yeah, and I mean, I think the question mark would be more above him. Like, what's the coaching situation? Do they get that righted? Sure. And it's crazy because health. I mean, is CMC going to be healthy? Is he ever going to be healthy?
I mean, the weird thing about CMC and what's funny about it is I'm actually wearing my CMC jersey right now, but. The weird thing about CMC is he gets banged up with these like little things, like as you know, he hasn't had a major injury. It's little things that keep him sidelined, and then he has trouble coming back from them. Like, it's really weird. Like, he's actually, I hate to designate somebody as injury prone, you know, just because they've torn their ACL once and they've, you know, hyperextended their leg once. But when there's somebody like CMC, who the last 2 years has had just numerous injuries, it's hard to not be like, dude, you're injury prone, my guy. So, yeah, that's tough. If he stays healthy, though, I mean,
the offense could be dangerous. I mean, we've talked about, like, even the forgotten DJ Moore. Won't live that down. But back to the Ravens and their potential for the year. I'm not necessarily shying away. Like, if Lamar Jackson's available at a decent spot, that's not a reach. I mean, obviously, that's a no-brainer, for, you know, with the rushing potential. I do think Rashad Bateman's worth. I mean, somebody has to catch them. If you have a tight end league, Mark Andrews is going to be one of the higher taken. I mean, he's someone that you could argue you take if you want to solidify tight end, like, earlier than most.
Just to throw it out there, Mark Andrews is the second. By ADP, he's the second tight end off the board.
Is that behind Kittle?
Behind Kelsey.
Oh, Kittle, yeah, that's right. Kittle's third. Or fourth.
Yeah, Kyle Pitts is going above this man, which is absolutely crazy to me. But and then
I think that's just a potential. Like, that's based off potential. Because Kyle Pitts, I don't even think, caught his first touchdown until they played, like, late in the season out of the States.
That's just absolutely wild. That's just still people going off of his name from last year to me, I think. And let's see. Lamar Jackson is the fourth QB off the board right now. So he is going 37th. Overall, so third round. Sorry, I'm looking at the problem. He's going in the fourth round, 49th overall.
I don't know. Like,
49th overall, depending on your format, it's fourth or third.
If you're playing a league that like is down on the Ravens and he falls, I don't know if I can do that in the fourth round. Like, I don't even have my running backs and receivers yet. And the difference between him and people below him, like, it may not, it's marginal to, you know, invest that draft capital.
Yeah, people beneath him would be Kyler Murray, Joe Burrow, who we'll talk about, Dak Prescott, Jalen Hurts, Tom Brady, Russell Wilson. So, I mean, yeah, those guys are still available later than that. You could definitely get a better return on QB there, I think. Just to talk about the QB thing, though, with there, do you think that with the weapons that he has, he can make up for the fact that, like, basically what I'm saying is, do you think for the lack of weapons that he has, he as a QB can make up for that? Like, do you think that he can hit them consistently and the team can make it so that he has the ability to get fantasy points out of his receivers? Or do you think it's going to be another year of relying on his legs? Which, I mean, makes sense because that's kind of what he does. But, like, you know, you get where I'm going with that.
Yeah, and I'm not in the glorified running back camp. I do think that he's skilled. He can throw the ball well. I think he's kind of like a snowball. Like, when he gets going, he doesn't miss, and then he gets real lethal, and then that's when they blow teams out. But when some misses start to happen, I think that it kind of gets harder and harder to get that snowball going. I do think it's going to be another year of primarily on the ground. They're going to have to be creative and creating different avenues for both the running backs and the quarterback to have running lanes. But I do think most of his points will come from the ground. And if it does go through the air, it would be through the channels, you know, the channels you already know, the Mark Andrews, you know, Rashad Bateman.
Yeah.
Right. And then the other big question mark is, not even a big question mark, but Lamar Jackson's also known for, you know, picking up small injuries here and there. Mm-hmm. So having Tyler Huntley on either stash or having him some available to quickly grab off the waivers, like, I know last year I did it and it was beneficial because Huntley kind of plays the same kind of game.
Oh yeah, and sure. I think Huntley plays a similar style of game, but is actually, you know, for his first year in the league last year, I think he's actually a better passer than Lamar Jackson. He's just not as good as a runner, and he's not as good as his talent just isn't quite as good, but I think he's a better passer than Lamar Jackson, like, personally.
They look dangerous when he played, and that's coming from, we played them, and I believe Huntley was playing. If not, I watched the game.
Yeah, I remember that game. I actually was off work on that game, and that was the game where Lamar Jackson had, like, some stomach issue and then rolled out, and, like, didn't you guys get, like, stomped?
No, like, I'm pretty sure we won the game.
I think you won the game, but I feel like for the first half, they came out and they were, like, stomping you guys.
Well, that was kind of a theme for the entire season, to be honest, because Ben was basically, hey, let's let him get ahead so I can throw 60 times.
Sure. I mean, and that's fair. I mean, we'll wait until they're in prevent defense and just dink and dunk and paper cut them. But speaking of Rashad Bateman, where do you think, if you had to guess, what do you think his wide receiver overall ADP is?
There is a lot of receivers, so this is kind of a tough one.
Yeah,
I'd imagine in the 55 to 65 range.
Are you saying, like, what overall pick he is, or what ranked
wide receiver?
You think he's in the 50s?
50 to 60s would be my guess initially, but I'm looking at the
he is the 37th. Wide receiver off the board.
Wow.
So, but he's going 89th overall as far as, you know, full all of the picks. So, I feel like that's still pretty good value. 89th overall, I mean, you're talking an 8th round-ish pick, 7th, 8th round, depending on how many people you have in your league. That's pretty good. I mean, for a number one wide receiver.
Mm-hmm.
Like, if you're going to go...
Yeah, he's someone... Heavy, I mean, if you're going RB in your first two rounds... Bateman's a good.
I think you'd have to go to end up with him as, like, your wide receiver two. Even you're looking at going RB RB,
like just stocking up
tight end QB,
wide receiver. I mean, but if that's how you want to play, if you're the guy that likes to draft the quarterback super early and go for the like the Josh Allen of the draft,
I feel like
it's not a bad receiver.
I feel like he's being drafted as a bench wide receiver. I think that's why he's down where he is. But I think he'll be better than that. You know.
Yeah, I'm looking at Fantasy Pros. He's actually the 19th ranked receiver according to them.
Well, I'm on Fantasy Pros. What are we talking about here?
I'm looking at the PPR rankings for it's Dynasty, so I think that has something to do with it.
That's what it is. You're looking at Dynasty rankings. Yeah, you want to look at redraft ADP. Dynasty rankings, I mean, he's a young guy, so that makes sense.
It's a little bit more exciting.
Yeah, but as far as redraft, 89th overall, 37th wide receiver off the board. So, but I think the main problem with this team is going to be that their wide receivers are just Devin Duvernay, James Proche. That's not great. That's what I'm saying. Like, you know, if they go out and they get, you know, some high level, you know, even if he's older kind of thing, like Emmanuel Sanders, he did well for the Bills last year at the beginning of the season. Is he not still playing? Is he not still floating around? Go out and try to sign him for a cheap 1 year deal. I mean, that would bolster so much.
He's familiar with the division too, because he played with the Steelers for a long time.
Right, like that's what I'm saying. Like if I were them, I would definitely be spending all my time right now. Well, I'd be making sure that, you know, the running backs we have on deck are getting healthy enough, because their first two guys are still questionable right now: J.K. Dobbins and Gus Edwards, and so is Justice Hill, their fourth guy. So Mike Davis leading the pack, just
right
by default.
And, I mean, I don't know if you throw all your eggs in that basket, because, I mean, there were a lot of believers last year that Mike Davis was going to be the truth in Atlanta, and immediately was supplanted.
Bro, do you remember being at that game and watching the...
It was bizarre. We kept talking about, like...
The first team come out, and it's...
Cordell Patterson.
Yeah, it's Cordell Patterson. It's not Mike Davis. And I feel like I looked down there, and I was like, wait a second, that's not Mike Davis. Who is that? And we were like, oh, that's Cordell
Patterson.
We said
that a lot that game.
Yeah, I'm sure we did. Because that was just wild. That was just absolutely wild. I think to me, their biggest thing, they need to shore up their wide receiver position. If they could bring in, you know, one veteran, something to help out, I think that would make a huge difference. They're still a defensive-minded team. I think their defense is still pretty good. And their offensive line isn't bad. It's not stellar, but it's not bad. So if you're looking for anything on this team, I would go after Mark Andrews. I think Rashad Bateman for his price right now isn't bad. I'd probably avoid Lamar Jackson just because, I don't see the fantasy points there outside of his running game, which, you know, might be there.
Not for
but
the
he's
price.
Also, yeah, he's also, he didn't play well last year. Like, That's tough. Do you have anything else to focus on? Real quick, something we've been doing in the divisional breakdowns. Guessing win losses. Do you have any guess on what the Vegas has for their win losses?
So just educate me on what the format is. Do they have like actual record, or is it like, do they just record how many wins? Like, how's
it's that? it's wins. Yeah, they go by wins, so they'll throw out like you know, they'll say 11.5 usually. They most of them are 0.5. But yeah. So like, how many wins do you think they'll end up with? I mean,
apologies for the quiet. I'm actually counting right now. I'm going through their schedule.
Yeah. You're like going.
I would say around 10, to be honest. A 10 win team.
Wow. Not bad. Right now they are at 9.5. So you would take the over if you were betting.
Barely, but yeah, I'd probably take the over.
Yeah, all you have to do
I might actually.
And then they.
Yeah.
But that's so basically that means that Vegas has put a good line out for them, is basically what that means. It's like, you know, nine.
Yeah,
nine,
realistic.
Ten, you know, yeah. Yeah. Cool. All right, yeah. So, you know, that's a pretty good line that Vegas has, I think. Yeah. I mean, they're definitely a winning team. They're like right on that borderline. So yeah, I dig that. All right. Well, that was the Baltimore Ravens. How about we go into the Cleveland Browns? So how you feeling on the Browns, Chris?
So a lot depends on who's playing quarterback for sure. them.
Let's right now we'll just say Deshaun Watson.
All right, so Deshaun Watson plays, their ceiling massively increases. While they did, they lost Jarvis Landry at receiver, I still think their receiver core and really their weapons as a whole are pretty strong. They do have probably the best running back room in the league. I mean, it's hard. They're three deep, and each does their job well. Yeah, Nick Chubb.
I mean, Dearness Johnson wasn't bad when he filled in, but I mean, I don't know. Really the best? Do you think that's the best? I'm trying to think of who else.
Well, in terms of all three, they don't have the best running back at the top, but I think all three of them perform their roles really well. And
yeah,
like
Like if you could take a team's running back as your running back. Yeah. I feel that.
And that, it could be exaggeration. There's a lot of good running back rooms in the league. But I just feel like when I think Browns, I think like they're going to run it and they're going to run it a lot and you're not going to be able to stop
Ravens.
It.
Ravens and
right.
Ben are both run.
With that, they did bring in Amari Cooper. So that's a good option for them. Hopefully they get more, or I mean, they paid David Njoku like he was going to give them a lot. And so far I haven't seen it, but defensively still the same.
Well, they
looks
don't have anybody
similar.
Behind David Njoku, so...
Harrison Bryant, I mean, inspiring a whole
well,
lot.
That's what I'm saying. Like, nobody...
One of the best offensive lines, though, in the division.
Well, they definitely
and,
know what their, you know, what their bread and butter is. It's running
right.
the ball. You gotta have... You know, which is kind of weird that they brought in Deshaun Watson, because it's like, historically, he doesn't throw to the running backs, and... Just kind of weird that... I mean... we could debate, you know, them bringing on Deshaun Watson for days, but to me, I don't necessarily feel like he's a good fit here. Like,
I think they were looking for someone who was intelligent enough to run the offense and dangerous enough, so that it's not just a game. You don't have someone that's just in there that you really don't want to risk it with, like with Deshaun Watson. In Houston, you know, they trusted him to, he could go out there and win games.
Yeah.
I think they felt, even though I kind of think that Baker could win games as well if he wasn't practically broken every year or every week. But I think with Deshaun Watson, there's more of that X factor, like can go out there, win those games, be that next level QB.
Well, I do really like, you know, if he is the starter and stuff, I do really like him with Amari Cooper and even Donovan Peoples-Jones, DPJ. I think that wide receiver duo is going to be pretty good. I mean, he got by with worse in Texas, in Houston. So, I like that. I just think it's going to be weird, especially for Kareem Hunt. And who knows? I mean, maybe since the last time he played, he's learned to throw to his running backs more. Maybe it was a situation where he didn't trust his running backs to catch enough. But I just think that's kind of a weird pick there. I feel like they're more of a game manager-y style person. Like, I wouldn't have been surprised if they had gone after Carson Wentz, you know, if that makes sense. Kind of more of a game manager. Or Matt Ryan, you know, if they had gone and gotten Matt Ryan.
I think they wanted to be more dynamic, and I think that's kind of why they went the Deshaun Watson route, is they wanted to, well, one, I think they're trying to avoid doing the adding to the long list of quarterbacks that have played and started. I think they wanted to get younger at the position, which I think that's why Baker was there when they, you know, try to build a team around Baker. Is that's a young guy. We can have the same guy consistency, you know, have some consistency. But I think when Deshaun Watson comes available in some circles and at one point in his career, he was in the elite talk with a lot of those bigger names.
Sure.
But I don't really necessarily co-sign with what Cleveland's front office does, and this is one of the most questionable moves in my opinion, because they literally put the future of the franchise in that trade.
Yeah, it's gonna be
like
really
at least
tough coming
3 years
back from this. If you like,
right,
if he's indefinitely,
if they suck,
suspended. I mean,
right, if they suck, they don't have a first round draft pick next year. So it's not like, I mean, they can try to weasel their way back in, but they invested a lot of draft capital and then a lot of just plain money because his contract's almost fully guaranteed.
They also, the fully guaranteed bit about it is especially like almost makes it feel like he knew somebody in the organization. I don't know. This is a weird situation, and I don't want to get into a real deep conversation about Deshaun Watson outside of football, but I think as a player, if he brings to the field what he did before, that's going to be a very dynamic offense. And their offensive line is good enough. It's going to give him plenty of time. Like, I really do enjoy that about it. If it's Jacoby Brissett, I'm sad for them.
I mean, serviceable, but like for me, and when we get to the record, like what I think Deshaun Watson's win total, it's like half that with Jacoby Brissett. So when I say serviceable, I mean they're not going to be a 0-17 team.
What's the point of my philosophy with a lot of things comes back to kind of my philosophy to dynasty leagues is what's the point if you're just even if you're just mediocre, like what's really the point? You know, you're not helping your team because you're not getting better draft capital. But I mean, this team just being serviceable if they don't get Deshaun Watson in there is probably pretty good, I guess, because they gave up so much. So it's good for the Texans.
Yeah. I mean, yeah, they made out like bandits and, you know, we'll see what I love the when you look back at trades and see. You traded this pick, which turned into this player, and like adding all that up when it all happens.
Oh, man.
So it'll be interesting to see in a few years.
Dynasty leagues are so good for that. I think of it the same way that you just said. Like, well, I had this guy, and then I turned it into this, and then I turned this and this into that, and now I have these two guys on my team kind of thing. Like, I want to say I traded in our main dynasty league, I traded David Montgomery and somebody. I'm sure there was another piece involved or maybe a pick or something. Actually, I think it was a pick. I traded a David Montgomery and a pick into Alvin Kamara off of Josh. And then I turned Aaron Rodgers, who I had drafted, and Alvin Kamara and a pick into Russell Wilson and Joe Mixon. So, like, yeah, it's always fun to look at the path that you take to the players that you have, especially in Dynasty.
Right. With draft picks, it feels not as final until those picks turn into players. And imagine if the Texans reload and all of a sudden become competitive because of those three first rounds.
Oh, man. Can you imagine if Davis Mills pans out and they have all these picks and stuff?
Oh, yeah. And then they just go get weapons and stock up on defense.
Yeah, that's going to be real nice. I like Amari Cooper here. I mean, he's going to have to be hyper-targeted. I still think he's a good wide receiver. And DPJ, Donovan Peoples-Jones, showed that he can be a very serviceable spot start, flex kind of thing, if not a wide receiver 3, possibly wide receiver 2. Problem is it's a tough division, but, you know, those are guys that you're going to want to probably look for in your draft. Amari Cooper, not Amari Rodgers, but Amari Cooper. Amari Cooper's going with the 22nd wide receiver. He's going 54th overall. So he's going in the fifth round for a wide receiver 1. He's going between Marquise Brown and Chris Godwin. So, and
I'd buy in that situation.
DK Metcalf is going several spots ahead of him. I'd much rather have Amari Cooper, especially if Deshaun Watson is playing, than DK Metcalf.
I think that might probably is built in or baked into his draft status, though, is the uncertainty at quarterback.
Yeah. Well, Chris Godwin going after him, and we're not even sure if Chris Godwin's going to be healthy to start the season. We can put out Chris Godwin because that's probably just a name thing and people are hopeful. But, Brandon Cooks is right after him. Darnell Mooney. We didn't talk about it, but hey, man, Darnell Mooney's up to 183 pounds. Guy's a
getting up there.
Guy's a beast, dude. If I sat in a sweat lodge for a week, I probably still wouldn't sweat out enough to be 183 pounds.
I'm sure my bottom half alone is there.
Yeah, so I don't know how big that's supposed to be or what's supposed to be exciting about that. But, yeah, 183 pounds, good for him. Cortland Sutton, though, like, I don't know, man. What do you think? I'd rather have Brandon Cooks and Cortland Sutton ahead of Amari Cooper. Gabe Davis is the next name and Elijah Moore, so I'd probably rather have Amari Cooper over them. But I would much rather have Cooks and Sutton over Cooper.
Cooks, definitely. Sutton... like I feel like it's a toss up between the two, just mainly because it's both kind of similar situations offensively. Both run first, both run a lot. Sutton's in Denver.
I disagree. So I guess I think that Denver's going to be more balanced as opposed to run first, quote unquote. Last year they were fairly balanced. They threw more than they ran by a good amount, but that was because their passes weren't as high value because of who they were coming from. But with Russell Wilson there, I think that they'll probably have on paper more rushes because he'll rush himself, Russell Wilson, that is. But I think that I'd rather have the number one pass catcher for Russell Wilson than the number one pass catcher for Deshaun Watson, just based on his...
You wouldn't consider Judy the X receiver for Denver?
Judy's the X receiver. I think it's Cortland Sutton, to me. And I think that's the way it's being drafted, because Judy is going down at 34th. He's the 34th wide receiver off the board. So that's where the people drafting right now, that's where they're putting their chips, is... Mm-hmm. I mean, but Judy's also coming off of a slight injury, too. But, yeah. So, I think I'd rather have...
That team's got a lot of... If when you do your AFC West, the Denver Broncos are such a fascinating team going into this year.
I'm super excited to do that episode. That's so much high-powered offenses. I do think that I would take Jerry Jeudy ahead of Amari Cooper. I think that the Denver... the main two, Sutton and Judy, those guys are going to both be monsters. So I didn't mean to make it sound like I wouldn't take Judy over Cooper in that. I just think that both of them together, I think they're going to be bad. That team is going to be such a monster. I'm dynasty wise, I'm buying in a lot to that team as anywhere I can. And redraft wise, I'd probably be focusing on that team, but not to, you know, that's not what this podcast is about. So, do you have anything else to say about the Browns before we move on to the next team, or before we talk what their win loss is?
I was actually just about to jump into win loss. I kind of have them at 8.5 would probably be my win total for them this season. 4 if it's Jacoby Brissett.
It is the... Where is the Browns on this list? Chicago. Where's the Browns? I don't see them on this list. That's really weird.
Maybe they're not being... people can't bet on them because it's so uncertain.
Yeah. I mean, I wouldn't be super surprised by that, but I would be somewhat surprised. It's possible, though, yeah, like you said, that there's so much up in the air that they
don't want to have like an easy under. If they have like a high number.
So I'm using Vegas Insider for these teams, and it's updated decently regularly. They don't have a win loss on here, so which, you know, makes a certain amount of sense. It's kind of up in the air with how much, especially right now, that could change. It was updated today, so yeah, I guess they don't have a good win loss for them. If you had to throw a number out there, I'd probably put it at like 8.5.
Sounds like we agree, because that's where I put it. 8.5. Yeah, eight and a half.
Yeah, so...
And 4 if it's Brissett.
Yeah, way lower if it's Brissett. I still think their run game is good. Their offensive line is really good. Their defense isn't bad. So I'd put it at 5. 5.5 for Brissett starting, you know. So if you see either of those lines pop up for them and you want to put money down based on what we're randomly saying, you know, there you go. So that's going to do it for the Cleveland Browns. Let's move into the Cincinnati Bengals. We'll save your Steelers for last. Go out on a fun high note for you. What you got to say about them Bengals, bud?
So it's going to be tough to follow up the run they had at the end of the season. That was kind of one of those magical situations where everything was going right. They still have the team. I think that ultimately, and just spoiling kind of division winners, but I think they win the division, and I don't think there's a whole lot of competition there. I think they're going to be a good step ahead of everybody else. Baltimore probably gives them the most run, just out of my opinion.
Man. I think the Steelers with Trubisky.
I'm hopeful. You're probably more optimistic than me on my own team.
Well, you're a homer, so yeah. I mean, I'm always very pessimistic about the Eagles. So, I mean, I feel you. You're going to look for the things that aren't going to work before the things that are going to work. But I honestly think that if Mitch Trubisky starts for the season, we'll get more into that in a second.
Yeah, so looking at the schedule, they do have a couple of hard games, two of them back-to-back, week 15, week 16. They're at Tampa and then at New England. I know New England's not like a world beater, but Foxborough is always tough, and it's in December. So that's going to be tough.
Yeah,
that's a tough road game.
Cincinnati, that's cold. They're cold.
They might be used to it. That's true.
They might be a little bit more used to it. I mean, they're going to be they're used to playing in the snow to a certain extent. I mean, unless it's one of those like super stormy,
like ugly games where New England doesn't run a single or pass a single time,
or they pass three times like last year in that one game that they had. I mean, that's going to be the big thing, is if they're playing in the cold to the point where it's an issue like that, I don't think that their run game is good enough to support that. I just don't. I don't think they can win by only passing three times.
Now, fantasy-wise, like, I'm absolutely targeting any Cincinnati. Like, if I can get any Cincinnati stock, you know, from quarterback, running back, and even receiver, tight end, Hayden Hurst isn't the worst. That's a team that I would be targeting almost anybody I could. Tyler Boyd's probably a great option if that's your number three. You're real happy with that. T. Higgins coming off injury.
Bit inconsistent to be like a favorite for a number three for me. I would say he's a very solid flex, but I like where you're going with that. But just speaking on the wide receivers, T. Higgins is going, he's the 12th wide receiver off the board. He's going 29th overall, dude. So he's going at the end of the second round, beginning of the third,
a lot to invest, but yeah. I mean, he performed really well last year.
I mean, Jamar Chase is going 9th overall. Like, so
yeah, he's probably one of the first receivers,
you know, only 10 picks away from each other. So, and then Boyd, scrolling. Boyd is going 124th overall. So, I mean, Boyd's definitely your value pick there. Going around MVS, Jarvis Landry, Garrett Wilson, Christian Watson. So he's like going around a bunch of rookies, and yeah. So, yeah, I mean, he's probably your best value. So, what you said, I like it. Dig it. Here for it. Joe Burrow. Where is Joe Burrow going? Where is old Joe Burrow going? He is the 6th overall QB, 53rd off the board. That is average depth position. I have him in 4 points going 15th, and I think it's the same for 6 points. If it'll finally shift over, I don't know why it's lagging like this.
I have a feeling while you're looking, I have a feeling though that there might be some Mahomes effect there with Burrow, and what I mean by that is either less experienced players or people that truly believe in quarterback first or quarterback early. That there's going to be a lot of, I think he'll be someone that's overreached for a lot this season.
Yeah, I mean, something that this podcast is never going to preach or go after for you guys is reaching early for QBs, especially this year where that we're going into. It's been the same case for at least the last 2 years, too, I think. But especially this year, QB is such a deep position. You really, really, really don't need to reach on these guys. Like, you're going to be able to get a decent amount of points off of your people in the later picks, later rounds. So, but yeah, I have him projected 15th and 14th, I think is what it was for the other one, Burrow. Nope, I am 15th overall in 4 point and 6 point. Yeah, and that makes sense because he doesn't rush a whole lot. Or at least he didn't last year. We'll see if that changes being an extra year removed from the injuries to his leg. But, yeah, I think where he's going is way too high.
Yeah. I mean, he's obviously real life, great, someone you want to have in your team, but fantasy wise, it's just hard to justify when you can spend way less.
Half of his season last year is what people are banking on. People are hoping for what he did for half of the season.
Right. Recency bias. But a lot of people, and I can see the argument that he's growing into the role and here to stay.
Yeah, so. I mean, I dig that. I dig that. Joe Mixon is going 11th overall. 7th RB off the board. How do you feel about that? You think that's a little bit early? You think that's fair?
I honestly think it's fair.
He catches passes. He runs decently.
Yeah, what well. He brings, he brings a lot to the table in terms of both rushing and receiving. Mm-hmm. Injury bug kind of would be the knack. He missed a couple of games.
I mean, speaking of injury points. Bug, the RB ahead of him is Dalvin Cook.
Oh, yeah, and I mean, just to be fair, when Dalvin's on, like, he is crucial for teams, but it's just a matter of, is he going to be there? And, I mean, you know, it's a situation that's worth monitoring when Madison is rostered as often as he is,
yeah,
purely as a handcuff. Like, when you need a handcuff.
Would you rather have Javonte Williams or Joe Mixon?
Joe Mixon, simply because Javonte Williams is technically in a timeshare with Melvin Gordon.
Yeah. DeAndre Swift or Joe Mixon?
That one's tough because Swift is still kind of new to the game. Probably Swift, because I honestly believe he's going to get run into the ground with Detroit in that situation.
Yeah, but I mean, I imagine that the Bengals will be in winning positions more, so they'll lean on the run game more. So Joe Mixon will get, like, the finishing out the game kind of thing.
I imagine Samaje Perine will get some of that, too, to keep Mixon healthy, fair. Though.
Nick Chubb or Joe Mixon?
Mixon.
Okay. Fournette or Mixon?
Mixon all day. I don't think that's close. Even though Fournette really did well last year. Not great news coming out of camp, even though he's had the whole coming overweight, not really motivated before, and he did well. But Mixon every time for me.
Last one, Najee Harris or Joe Mixon?
I'm going to have to go with my boy, Najee, all day. He's literally the only player on my roster in our Dynasty League that's just not touchable.
Oh, come on, man. That's just your homer side.
100%, because I don't even know what he's going to be able to do behind that offensive line, but I love the guy.
Yeah, right. That's a homer pick there for you. But everybody other than Dalvin Cook and Najee Harris that I just read out are all going behind Joe Mixon. So, like, I would rather have him than them. I'd probably rather have him than Najee. And if the reports out of the camps are accurate and they're going to go more pass heavy, I'd probably rather have him than Dalvin Cook. I'm not, you know, if he catches more passes, that's great, and I'd keep it where it is. But I personally, with their offensive line being what it is, I'd rather have Joe Mixon. No offense to you. But I don't think there's much to really need to be said about their wide receivers that we haven't already kind of touched on. All of them are fantastic. All of them are going to get a lot of points. I think that this is going to be a pass-first team, which is one of the few in the league. Super excited about that. What do you think the win-loss is on this year, Cincinnati Bengals?
I'd probably have it at 13.
9.5, so you're smashing that over then.
Wow, yeah. 9.5 seems really low.
Yeah, yeah. I mean, Vegas doesn't go, based on this, Vegas does not go that crazy. I think 11.5 is as high as they really go. On, like, the Bills, the Packers, and the Bucks are all at 11.5. Everything else is lower than that. So
interesting.
Yeah. I mean, they're hedging their bets, you know? I mean, it makes a certain amount of sense. It's, there's seven, what, there's 18 games now, you know? You expect there's a toss-up for a certain amount of them. Yeah, it makes sense. All right, cool. Really like the Bengals. Would try to get their people if they fall to me at the right price. That's what I would highly recommend for you guys out there. Last team to go into is going to be the Pittsburgh Steelers. This is your team, so what do you think about your Steelers there?
So obviously, I need to say first and foremost, and this is of the utmost importance, but the fact that it's not called Heinz Field anymore is just never going to change in my mind. Like, it's called...
Wait, what's it called now?
Hold on. Let me... It's an insurance company that's not even based out of Pittsburgh. It is Acrisure Stadium now.
Ooh, that's awful.
They took down the ketchup bottle and everything.
Why?
Because
the contract ran out and this was the person that wanted to pay the most.
Right, and so we had a 20-year contract with Heinz, yeah. And this deal with Acrisure is worth well over what the Heinz deal was. So it was time. I mean, obviously that happens, but it'll forever be Heinz Field to me. And it's going to look really weird without the big ketchup bottle above the scoreboard.
Honestly, I think that this insurance company or whatever it is that you're talking about that bought into it should just go ahead and keep the name Heinz Field brought to you by... whatever
or
name
or
is.
Do like, you know, do what college stadiums do. College stadiums have, like, for example, at FSU,
yeah,
it's Bobby Bowden Field at Campbell Stadium, so why can't it be Heinz Field at Acrisure Stadium?
Yeah something like that. Like, I mean, that's an old,
I mean, and what's more blue collar, what's more blue collar than ketchup, dude? Like, I mean, literally, it was perfect.
Hell, Pat Mahomes puts it on his steak.
Okay, I can't jive with that. That's just completely wrong, and I can't co-sign with that. I love Pat Mahomes, but that's I can jive. The only reason I can vibe with that is I'm the chicken tenders at a steak place kind of person.
So what rookie quarterback came out and said that's him?
Sam Howell. Sam Howell and I align in that.
You guys would be best friends. Sam Howell, hey, if you're listening to this and you want to link up and talk about preferences in chicken tenders, Chicky Tins.
Like, I can only imagine they go to some fancy steakhouse and everybody's getting, like, prime rib and, you know, New York strips. And I'm like, yo, let me get the chicken tenders, french fries, and some barbecue sauce. Like, that's all I really want.
See, so I feel it on the ketchup thing, but I do like A1 sauce, man. Like, I'm not a just eat meat without a sauce kind of person.
Heinz don't miss, dude. Heinz do not miss.
Is A1 Heinz?
I believe it's a subsidiary, but I may be wrong.
Okay. Because I know they have the A51 or whatever it is.
Yeah, Heinz 51.
Yeah, so I know that one. I mean, if I wanted to get up and go and check, I have a bottle not far from me, but you know, I always keep a bottle not far from
me. I may be wrong. I'm looking at it now.
Love me some A1 sauce, man. That's just so good. So anyway, aside from that, you know.
No, it doesn't look... Oh, it is... It is Heinz. It's, I'm looking at it now. Based out of England, Kraft Heinz is the owner.
Yeah, there you go.
And it's designated as a brown sauce.
A brown sauce. What is? I don't want to get into what.
I'm going down the. Oh, you ever done that thing?
Yeah. You ever played that game one thing, and then you're like, "Well, what does this mean?" And then you, all of a sudden, it's 3 hours later, and you're like, "Oh, okay, so that's where packing peanuts come from."
Yeah, it's like the 60 degrees of Kevin Bacon. It's like, how the heck did I get on brown sauce from ketchup?
What?
Just so you know, brown sauce is commonly served with food in the United Kingdom and Ireland, normally dark brown in color with a U. Okay. The taste is either tartar meat.
Okay. So it's more of a, so I have a more refined palate because I go at it with the A1 than ketchup.
Yeah, other than ketchup, which is for Neanderthals, I guess.
Yeah, yeah, basically. That's for, you know, Americans with poor taste.
World on steaks and ketchup.
Yeah. Sorry, Mahomes. You've got bad taste. And sorry, who was it? Howell? Is that who you said?
Sam Howell. Yeah, Sam with Howell's, Washington.
With Washington. Dude, my guy. I understand being picky. I'm a picky eater myself. So is Chris. We understand picky eaters. But, like, dude, really? You're going to go to a steakhouse, a nice steakhouse with the money that you have, and you're not going to get steak?
But, okay, just to...
This guy's like, just to play chicken tenders all the time.
To play devil's advocate, though.
No, this like, guy is the quality, the higher, all the time.
The higher quality food. So you're going to a steakhouse. That means that everything's higher quality, including the tenders.
That
and my
is not
evidence
true
is this.
That
Longhorn,
is not true at all.
Longhorn is a steakhouse. Longhorn is a steakhouse, and they have decent steaks.
No,
their chicken tenders
have,
are fire.
Okay, decent is a...
I haven't actually been to like a real... The closest thing to a fancy steakhouse I've been to, we have these places in Jacksonville, and they are... kind of buffet-like, but they're not buffet. What happens is you sit at the table and you have a little card, and dudes in like cowboy suits are walking around with like big chunks of like different kinds of cuts of steak, and then if your card is up, they'll literally walk by and cut a piece off and put it on your plate, and then like there's like 10 guys running around the restaurant just doing that, but it's all high quality. I got like the meat sweats eating there. It was ridiculous.
How do you, but are they cooked to different levels?
Yeah. So they're the
sorry listeners, this is I'm blown away by this concept. What?
the meat on it's on a kebab almost, and it's cooked to different temps along it, so if you're like I want it well done, they'll cut from the bottom,
but it's a situation where it's like they don't have different cuts of meat. It's all like they don't have T-bone. You don't order a T-bone there.
Well, no. But there's different cuts in the way of there's a guy walking around with chicken. There's a guy walking around with, you know,
so it's a kebab
prime rib. No.
See, I wouldn't consider that a steakhouse. That's not a steakhouse.
I would Google Brazilian steakhouses, and you'll understand.
See,
what
it's
I mean.
Already Brazilian. That's not cowboys.
Well, they're like gauchos. They're like Hispanic cowboys.
Oh my goodness! I give me your American card. This is sad. You're talking about
no, I've actually it's on my bucket list to go to Ruth Chris, which is like a real steak place.
I want a cowboy to shove a grenade inside of a cow, and the grenade is filled with like flavor, and then the grenade blows up, and then I get my steak. That's what I want. Give me that American steak. Right now.
Cooked with the heat of the grenade.
Cooked with the heat and flavor, TM, of the grenade. Like I'm gonna start putting some money into this. This is my Tony Stark moment, where I come up
like
with
the grenades innards are seasonings and brines and Jesus
flavor grenades for cows.
All right, so back to the Pittsburgh Steelers.
You took us down that rabbit hole with your brown sauce.
I'm bringing it back. I'm bringing it back, but. So Pittsburgh, honestly, in terms of non-fantasy performance, it's going to be tough to follow up. You're basically replacing what you would, at least internally, be a Hall of Fame quarterback. I don't know if he's going to be an NFL Hall of Fame quarterback.
Right, but just based on the last year or even the last 2 years, are you going to argue and say that Mitch Trubisky is worse than Big Ben was last year?
No, and essentially we didn't have to rip the Band-Aid off. It was like a slow burn to where we got enough
bad
performance.
Well, it was a slow
burn
because he wouldn't retire.
Right, and so like instead of having the I'm retiring, good luck, which he almost did a couple years ago.
Yeah, I mean,
we got
I remember that.
To
it was like 2 years
kind
ago.
Of,
it was after
right,
he got his major injury. I think it was like no, and then he came back, and then that injury lingered for like 2 seasons.
So not you don't have that like it's not like instant heartbreak. You got enough time to be angry enough so that when the breakup happens, it's like, well, you know, honestly, it was for the best. Like when you feel like okay, we both benefited from this, then it's a good situation. I do think Trubisky can perform well. I worry about the offensive line because instead of using early draft capital for offensive line help, we went after receivers and Kenny Pickett.
Yeah.
Obviously, Pickett's their guy. They identified him early, hometown guy. Makes sense.
I feel like that was such a bad pick. I feel like the almost essentially the homer in them went for him. I just feel like this draft class for QBs was so poor, and they just knew they were like, well, we have to get a good QB. We need to get the best of them because we're going to have at least a gap year, if not two, but he needs to be ready. I wouldn't be surprised if Kenny Pickett is the next Mitch Trubisky, where he was highly drafted and then does not pan out, you know?
Can see that. And the only – I also disagreed with the pick for what we needed.
Yeah, you needed offensive line help. I mean
– right. Now, granted, I think where we were in the draft, I don't know if the value was there because the offensive linemen that got picked after were considered reaches.
But
those teams, I mean, in that with offensive line, you kind of have to do that if you're in that position. And we're always in that have to reach because we're always middle of the road, if not good. We're never bad. With Kenny Pickett, I think the situation was they knew if they don't take him in the first, he's getting taken in the second, and they would have to invest 100%.
He was not going to make it back around to them.
Right. So I think it's one of those situations where they said, okay, of everybody considered, other than the people that we know aren't going to fall to us, who do we absolutely want to get? And I think identified him.
I almost feel like I'd rather be in the boat of just going after free agents at that point. Like, unless it's an absolute, I'm in the right position, right place with the right talent, I'll go for it. I'd almost rather just, like they did, and they scoop Mitch Trubisky, or they could have, you know, waited. Y'all could have gone after Jimmy Garoppolo. You know, if you're not a fan of Mitch Trubisky, Garoppolo's been good. Y'all could have gone after him. Like,
yeah, I think in my mind, the way I see it is
Garoppolo than Trubisky or Pickett.
Right. I think it was just overall like a plan that was put together, including the Trubisky pickup.
Yeah.
Because they picked up Trubisky with the intent of if we're getting Trubisky now, and I think he's on a 2-year deal. Correct me if I'm wrong.
Yeah, I think that sounds right. Yeah.
But I think the idea was we get Trubisky now, and then we have to bring someone in that we can start developing now. So I think that's why they were like, we have to, even though the class isn't necessarily. Where you would want to be quarterback-wise.
Right, but I'm saying, like, you guys could get into a situation where they're in... and it's obviously not quite the same situation because I'm not going to try to compare Trubisky to Aaron Rodgers, but what happens if you get into a situation where Trubisky performs well and
Pickett... Kenny doesn't have to see the
Pickett,
field.
Pickett doesn't, and you're now 3 years into... I mean, you only have Trubisky for 2 years on contract, but if they extended a year, then you wasted that first round pick on somebody that isn't really seeing the field outside of injury for 3 years. I mean, that's not an unrealistic way to look at that.
Right, but you can also, using Aaron Rodgers as the example.
Also, again, isn't Pickett the one with the baby hands?
That's an overplayed, overanalyzed thing. He struggled with it, yes, but he wears two gloves intentionally for that reason. but I don't think it's going to impact his play.
Basically, this man out here wearing heels so he can be like, I'm 6'2".
I mean, to be fair, Joe Burrow also got knocked for his hands, and he was bad play away from the Super Bowl.
Joe Burrow sucked his hands, when he first came into the league.
His hands had nothing to do with that. And he literally almost won a Super Bowl. So I don't know if hands...
I understand that you're going to defend your team no matter what.
Even if it wasn't my quarterback, even if it wasn't the Steelers quarterback, I don't believe that's...
I think hand size does matter, man. I think hand size matters with the way that you can grip the ball, the way that you can turn it, especially when it's wet out there and stuff. This man's going to wear two gloves? Like that.
It matters. It matters at like high school to college level when you don't know. But he's performed at the highest level at college, and done pretty well at a school that has a tradition of quarterback excellence.
Yeah. Yeah.
So I don't know. But with my point with them drafting quarterback this year, I think if they felt stronger about any of the other options, they don't make that pick in the first round.
The other options were terrible. That's what I was saying. This was a terrible year to go after a QB. And
I think
to drop your first round pick into it is just, I mean,
right. But I think that
I would
their plan.
I think every other team was looking at Pickett as we'll take him middle of the second round.
Right. I think we definitely reached, but that's because, like you said, he wasn't going to get back. I think the plan is, and I mean, you don't make a plan thinking it's going to fail. If they identified Pickett as their guy, and I think now is the time to have to take a quarterback if you're going to try to do the have the young guy sit and be ready in a couple of years.
I feel like I'm going to be the only person that's going to say this, but I think Mitch Trubisky is going to be your long-term QB.
I don't see it. I think he'll be successful, but I think they're going to
I think he'll be your long-term QB. I think Mitch Trubisky has the ability to run. I've seen his arm strength. I've seen his accuracy. I think Mitch Trubisky, if he is able to stay healthy, I think that man is going to prove in his first year with the talent that he has around him at wide receiver with Deontay Johnson, Chase Claypool. I think he's going to make George Pickens look good based on the routes that I've seen George Pickens run. I think he's going to make him look good. He also knows how to target his running backs and Najee Harris. Like, I think that he's also not afraid to throw to his tight end. And you got Pat Freiermuth there. I think that Mitch Trubisky is going to surprise a lot of people this year, and I think that he's actually going to be a surprisingly good QB, and I think it's going to put a lot of pressure on the front office to find a reason to put Kenny Pickett in, kind of like where they have been going back and forth in San Fran about throwing Trey Lance out there. Like, I'll give you that. I honestly think that that's kind of where you get, like, you guys aren't in a much different position to them.
No. And that's I think the best comparison, because Garoppolo also did kind of that same thing where it was like, oh, he's just supposed to lay down and Trey Lance will take the job and it should be no problem. And I mean, they were in the NFC Championship game with Garoppolo. And I do agree, I do have a lot more expectation that Trubisky will perform well. I honestly agree that he's going to surprise, and it'll make it tough for that transition. So we'll see.
Basically, I think what I'm saying is, in your drafts, go after Trubisky. If you are a if you're a 2QB league, Superflex, anything like that, Trubisky is going as the 33rd overall. So you could theoretically get him as your third QB, which is actually where I have him as my in my dynasty league. He is my third QB. That's a massive steal. Like, you could punt that position all the way down to the end in a single QB. And I think Mitch Trubisky is going to be great. I mean, he has the weapons around him. So let's talk about those weapons real quick. Najee Harris, one of the best pass catching RBs in the league. I mean, I don't think that that's a stretch to throw out there.
Already, which is pretty
I think the main thing that's going to hold him back is that last year his production was 100% based on volume. And that was because Big Ben could not get the ball farther than 8 to 10 yards down the field consistently and wasn't fast enough at making his reads that he didn't have to drop back to the running back. So I don't think that Najee is going to get as much volume this year. That's where I feel for him. So for Najee to be going at, let me switch to running back here real quick. Najee Harris is going as the 5th overall RB, 7th overall player. To me, that's a little bit high, man. I'd rather have, I personally would rather have Dalvin Cook, Joe Mixon over him, just those two. Everybody else after him, I feel like is fair. It's not like a huge drop, but I do feel like Dalvin Cook and Joe Mixon will finish the season better than he does, just because I don't see him getting the volume that he was getting.
Yeah, I can't argue that. And also offensive line concerns.
Yeah, that's the main thing. Y'all's offensive line is terrible, so that's the main thought process there. Next, Deontay Johnson, Chase Claypool. I think they're both, fantastic. And again, I think Mitch Trubisky is going to be able to get the job done, to get them the ball the way that they need to on those longer plays, like especially Chase Claypool. Like, Trubisky can hit the long ball. Chase Claypool's going to be able to open that up. Chase Claypool is a watered-down version of Tyreek Hill as far as I'm concerned. Very, very watered down. But he's going to be the guy that can come out of the backfield, catch a screen out of the backfield, and take it down the field. He's also the guy that's going to stretch the field for them, and catch some long bomb. Mitch Trubisky can get that done. Deontay Johnson, we saw Allen Robinson with Mitch Trubisky. The man made Allen Robinson a decent starter. Like, was he fantastic? No, but was he? But how much of that do you blame on the play calling, and how much of that do you blame on Mitch Trubisky? Because I think Mitch Trubisky wasn't the problem. I think it was Matt Nagy back then that was more of the problem. So I'm planting my flag on Mitch Trubisky. I think Deontay Johnson's going to be great. George Pickens as a third, that's a rookie, but you can't really argue with the way that the Steelers look at their rookie wide receivers. I mean, you guys are always really good about picking those guys up. And then you have Pat Freiermuth, who did great last year for a rookie tight end. I mean, was very successful. So, I mean, I'm a big fan. I can understand why people would sleep on some of the aspects of it. It's kind of surprising that Najee Harris would be going as high as he is when, like, Trubisky's going as late as he is. I mean, how are you going to... How are you going to get the ball to him? And then, like, Najee was not where he was last year based on his on-the-ground running. The majority of that was based on his through-the-air running. Like, how are you going to say that Mitch Trubisky is going to be way down that line at 33... but Najee Harris is like the seventh running back. He's not getting to he's not going to be the seventh overall running back based on his ability to run through the tackles. He's just not. That's not his
game. Well, and I think it's just overplayed stereotyping of teams where teams expect, because we don't have Ben anymore, that it'll be old school Steelers football, run first and second down, and Najee Harris is just going to be the beneficiary of that. And I think the team receivers is just not I don't think the team is going to be what, you know, Steelers teams of past have been. I think, you know, we would be more balanced, if not pass heavy, because that's where the strengths are. It all depends on if we can pass block.
Sure. That's going to be the big thing for you guys. But I think we're both in agreement that, like, the wide receiving options, Chase Claypool and Deontay Johnson, are people that, you know, we would want on our teams. And Pat Freiermuth, you know, I think you can get him really cheap, and that's going to be a good pickup for your team. Do you have any other thoughts beyond what your win-loss total is for these old Steelers this year?
I promise you're not going to like this. No, I'm not. I don't really have any extra to say. I'm hopeful. I actually am probably going to say the win-loss is probably going to be 7.5 or lower.
Did you look that up?
No, that's like gut feeling.
Wow. I feel like you'd look that up. I don't believe you, because it is.
I will screenshot. Yeah, I think 7.5
exactly
or lower.
7.5 is where it's at, and I still don't believe that you didn't look that up before I asked you that. Oh, especially since it's your team, I was expecting you to go way higher than that. 7.5. I mean, you play. You said that's basically saying that you're going to lose to your division every game almost.
No, not necessarily. I think we could probably split with the Browns, split with the Ravens.
Six of your games. So you're saying you're only getting one game off the Browns, one game off the Ravens. You think you get anything off the Bengals?
I have a hard time. Maybe a game at home if the defense plays out of its mind, which it can.
That's three, and then, you know, based on whatever you do through the... I mean, okay. I just feel like that's... I feel like that's low. I'd bet the over on that. But I think people are poo-pooing to be family friendly Mitchell Trubisky way more than they should.
Like, yeah,
I'd smash the over. That's true. On that. Like all day. All right, man. Well, this has gone way longer than intended, but you know, it's always a fun conversation. You know, this is the fantasy football friends. You know, it's a conversation with your friends. It has weird offshoots where you look into brown sauce and then talk about some place that comes in kebabs, meat slices in front of you and stuff like that. So but that was fun, man. Hey, and I'm glad I got to have you on for this specific division, since it's your division, you know?
Right. Makes sense. Always a pleasure. Always a pleasure. I love the rabbit holes that we go down.
Glad to have you on for that. That was a lot of fun. Guys, before we get out of here, again, thank you for listening to our podcast, The Fantasy Football Friends. You know, I hope that this has a fun aside for you on your commutes or listening while you're at work, and just a distraction for all that stuff that you don't want to really pay much attention to. If you want to get at us, we're at thefbfriends@gmail.com. You can send us some emails there. We'll take your questions, whatever you have on there. At FFBFriends on Twitter. And we'll be having a lot more content, especially like when, you know, we're getting closer to the year. So, hey, Chris, just to ask you, not to put you on the spot, but I was thinking I'll bring the podcasting equipment with us. We'll do an episode when we go to the game this year.
Yeah, that sounds great.
Yeah, just kind of a quick rundown of the first week of the game. Should be fun. We'll be able to talk about our experience and stuff. That'll be a lot of fun. But yeah, FFB friends, you guys, we love you. We appreciate you. Please like, subscribe, hit us with those ratings, 5-star, hit us with questions, whatever you want to do. We are here for you guys. We do appreciate you guys listening, and we will catch you guys next time. Bye-bye.
Through our lens, we don't follow the trends. Paper on wet, zero we stay. It's top of the leaderboard, about time we score. Pay attention, can't ignore these fantasy football friends. See through our lens, we don't follow the trends. Paper on wet, zero we stay. It's top of the leaderboard, about time we scored. Pay attention, can't ignore these fantasy football friends.